As always, every picture of me running this race is ridiculous.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we have brand new vilification tennis winner Kirsten Wade. She's going to talk to us about offensive comedy, being a lady, and feminism.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-host, Tim.
Hello,
and,
I'm Tim.
And Nick.
And me.
And Nick.
And me.
And Nick. And we are joined today by brand new vilification tennis winner, Kirsten Wade.
Hello. She's a winner.
She's a winner.
I'm the bestest this year.
Do you feel violated and also amazingly new?
Yes, I feel more insulted and honored
like
at the
a virgin
same time.
Yes. Touched for the very first time.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. So we had Kirsten on to talk about being a woman who does offensive comedy and also the intersection of feminism and offensive comedy and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I also am a woman who does offensive comedy.
Are you?
You might know now.
I know now.
You now know.
Yeah.
You're an offensive woman. I am an
offensive woman. Yeah, that's
no,
true.
You...
But I know that just recently, actually, for vilification tennis, I was involved in a conversation with a woman on Facebook on the Convergence page or on the Twin Cities Geeks page, whichever, complaining about vilification and how the certain types of jokes they shouldn't get to do.
I think I saw this.
Yes. And the idea that, I don't see how any of the women on that cast could be allowing themselves to make such jokes and particularly rape jokes and abortion jokes and things.
Right.
So was there, and you held a mug that held male tears.
Yes.
During your audition.
Yes, yeah. I did. I was the only female who auditioned, so
yeah,
I thought male tears would be an appropriate.
It was great.
Mug to have.
Did you get anybody in your life that thought that it was a bad idea to try out for vilification tennis?
No, not really. The only person I think in my life who would be opposed to it is maybe my stepmother, who is that kind of stereotypical super Christian suburban. I even told my dad about it, and he was helping me write jokes.
Awesome.
And I am kind of the black sheep of the family, the feminist, offensive comedy person.
So for your family, they were like, oh, that's just Kirsten doing Kirsten.
Yeah. And they're usually totally awesome with it. And if any of my friends were against it, like, fuck them, I don't really care what they think. You shouldn't do Ville tent. Well, you shouldn't be in my life.
A lot of us in Ville come down on the side of like anything, everything's on the table. You can make any joke is acceptable. But then there's some of us like Jeffrey Brown, for example, doesn't make slut jokes because he doesn't feel like participating in what he calls slut shaming in that way.
We each write our own material.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's your comedy philosophy on that? Like,
I think that for me, nothing is really off the table yet. I mean, I am so new that honestly, I just don't think that I've had enough experience to really come across something that's truly offended me.
Mm-hmm.
I know as far as jokes that I throw, I'm not as comfortable throwing rape jokes. Not because I think they shouldn't be told, but just because I don't know how to make that funny.
Sure.
For me.
Right.
Other people tell these jokes and I laugh because they're hilarious, but you know, it's just kind of a personal, and then sometimes I'll think of one and throw it and be like, okay, that was great. But
I think people talk about rape jokes as a topic, as a taboo comedy topic. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like any topic, it's all about the execution and who the joke is, if the joke is at anyone's expense or not.
Right.
And other than that, it's just another topic. It's just maybe a topic that is, you have to be more careful with.
Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily avoid.
Right.
I mean, maybe, you know, if that's not your bag, obviously don't force rape jokes, as it were.
Right.
There it goes. As the director of the show, what I've always told people about rape jokes is I'll never say you can't do any joke. I think every kind of joke has to be acceptable, because the moment you say you can't tell a joke about this thing is the moment you kind of imply that everything else is kind of okay.
And or less important.
And the whole idea of the show is none of this is really okay, right? Yeah. I mean, what we're saying is over the line, and that's the whole point of the show.
Yeah, we're horrible people.
We're horrible people saying horrible things. And when you set that up, you know, when you set up that environment of these are horrible people saying horrible things, then you kind of allow the audience in to enjoy that experience. But my thing about rape jokes is they're dangerous. They have, if you tell a bad rape joke, what mm-hmm. you're going to do is you're going to turn off the audience and you won't be able to get them back. I mean, I've seen it happen many times where somebody will tell one joke that clearly crosses a line that a critical number of people in the audience are not willing to cross. And at that point, they basically might as well get off the stage because they can't get the audience back. And that is one of those topics that it's like, it better be the funniest fucking rape joke that anybody ever wrote, or you really run a risk of losing your audience.
Or the audience had better be so warmed up that at this point they've heard horrible things over and over, and they're I mean, for better or for worse, desensitized. I mean, comedy, the way, especially Phil, the way we run it is to desensitize the audience so that by the third round or the end of the show when we're doing the final round of Phil, they're more accustomed to the bad, and so it's easier.
You can't just jam stuff in there. You have to loosen them up a little first.
So there aren't, as with most comedy, there's, it's predominantly male. Mm-hmm. Viltown's actually fairly balanced because we need, the funniest partners, I think, are men and women. It's easier to have one on either side.
Right.
But have you been doing comedy before Viltown? And
funny, and I mean, yes and no. That's mm-hmm. a weird question to answer. I've been doing improv for about 2 years.
Okay.
And I've been absolutely in love with comedy and stand up and all of that ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
In fact, my dad used to want to do stand up, and so like in our house, it's always just like jokes and ribbing each other and making fun of each other and stuff like that. So comedy was always just a part of our life. And then in college for my senior project, I actually wanted to do like a half hour of stand up.
Oh.
But my advisor said, I was in Bemidji.
You're in theater?
Yep. Yeah. You're not going to find
much of an
audience.
The fact is, nobody in Bemidji has a sense of humor. I
mean, yeah.
It's really
finding an audience that's going to be receptive to a stand up show is going to be a little harder because it's a small town. Yeah. It's
a half hour is a long time.
It is.
I mean, you don't. You
I
see
just
like
did
comedy
one.
Specials.
I die laughing, and it's a long time.
People do like an hour.
I probably
ridiculous.
Would have had it broken up by a bunch of skits and stuff. Skits that were eventually used in my actual senior project, which was. I've kind of had like a crush on comedy for a long time and wanted to do it. And Viltown is the first time that I feel like I've gotten to stretch. Actual, like, I'm going up here to make people laugh.
I get you.
Not to have a good improv set, not mm-hmm. to make an entertaining show.
And hopefully they laugh,
but
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you had your comedy crushes as when you were younger, because you're pretty young.
Yeah.
I mean, you're, like, what, are you 25?
Just turned 26 last
year. Just turned 26,
week.
My God. I'm a million years old. All right, so who...
Will you shut up?
Yeah, he's almost dead, actually. That's the difference. He's super...
I hate young people talking about how old they are.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Hey, hey, I lived through the 80s for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus.
I'm the only person at this table who lived through part of the 60s. So let's just...
Gross, that's true.
you're older than both my parents.
No, say it sexier.
You're older than both my parents.
That's just it.
Mr. Wick, you're older than my dad. Anyway, so who did you like? What kinds, did you skew more offensive back then for what you liked? You're like,
way more offensive, mostly energetic. This is going to... I was a teenager, so forgive me. I really liked Dane Cook.
Mm. Yeah.
Like his early stuff.
I loved Dane Cook. I will not.
Before everyone started quoting him. And, well, I I would still watch his early stuff, and I don't think he sucks.
I mean, as a person, like, not as a comedian. True.
His first album, his first big comedy special.
It's so good.
He kind of showed up, and he had, to a lot of people, like, a really original voice and fresh material and a fresh way of delivering it that was different than what everyone was used to.
Yeah.
He was a cocky, like, full of confidence, handsome guy, and it wasn't this, like, schlubby, self-deprecating kind of thing. And
he said horrible stuff.
He did.
That was hilarious because he said it in such a, oh, no, but this is how it is.
Right.
You know, just very matter-of-factly. And I really liked it. And then everyone at school started quoting it, and then he got famous. And for some reason, when some people get famous, they just stop being funny. Like, they change their style to be more.
They don't. I think a lot of it is that they're not hungry anymore. Mm. And it's when you know you've got stuff to fall back on, and you know that you can coast in and say the old favorites and do the shocker and everyone will laugh, I think it's harder to write new stuff and take risks, you know.
Margaret Cho and Lisa Lampanelli, I love and still love. I love when women make horrible, raunchy sex jokes.
Yes.
Both of them. Lisa Lampanelli especially, though. Yeah. She's crude.
Oh, my God. She is so crude. And I think that that's so rare for a lot of female comedians. Kind of go like, my girlfriend is like blah, 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 blah. But, like, actually associating women with, oh, hey, we can be raunchy and gross, and, you know, she always talks about, I'm gonna have a big orgy with a bunch of black guys, and then point out some guy in the audience and you backstage tonight, and, like, that's great.
Yeah.
I love that women can do that and still be funny and not, you know, shy away from it because they're afraid of being seen as, like, sluts or and all that stuff.
Or even more so, they're glad they're being seen as sluts because slut isn't a bad thing. That's something it's funny because, like, you know, and I've talked to Jeffrey about this, the whole concept of, oh, I don't want to tell slut jokes because it's slut shaming. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but there's nothing wrong with being a slut. And so it can still be, just like there's nothing wrong with being fat. I mean, we can make this still very funny, you know, and he kind of was like, oh, okay, I can see that. You know, the idea that, you know, I recently called someone a slut on Facebook, and someone was like, well, just because she did this doesn't make her a slut. I'm like, well, it does, and that doesn't mean she's bad. Mm-hmm. Like, sleeping around with a lot of dudes, like, that's slutty.
You're identifying behavior.
Yeah. Anyway, I love, someone called me a slut, I think jokingly, one of my friends called me a slut, and I'm like, yes, I'm sorry, I have the ability to attract lots of people of opposite gender.
Yeah.
What everyone a terrible wants, thing.
Everyone like, wants to have sex with me.
Oh, man.
It's so awful.
It's the worst thing ever.
Shut up, Tim.
Tim, do you?
Why am I even here? I don't know.
Tim, do you?
It's because I'm running the fucking computer.
When you get pushback from Ville stuff, and I know you do, you know, more often than you probably tell
letters.
Us even. Do you get? Would you say that, like, you've ever gotten stuff about, like, there being women or, like, about the? Is it
the only time I got really severe pushback was when we did the white male privilege show. because we
did. You see that show?
I did not. We did.
I got a long letter from somebody.
You missed 60% of a really good show.
Telling me all the ways that we screwed it up. And you know, the thing was, what was funny about it is, like, I knew it all. And so I was getting this lengthy lecture. Because what we did... We tried to make fun of white male privilege with a bunch of white males on the stage,
and me getting sexually harassed as the secretary, and
what
getting
we really
to bring
didn't
sandwiches.
Do was turn the joke on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't what it was supposed to be about. I mean, it was supposed to be making fun of white male privilege.
I would even say we didn't turn the joke around on ourselves enough. We did for a lot of people. They felt like it was adequate, but for the people who came into the show maybe a little more sensitive, maybe, you know how some people come into a comedy show with that, okay, fine, make me laugh, let's just see about this. Mm. Like, and so we weren't able to meet that bar at all.
It's not like, what is it, Poe's Law, where you can't tell if they're joking or if that's really how they are. You know, sometimes you just have to go all the way.
I'm not saying it was a disaster. I'm saying it didn't work, you know?
Yeah.
And I got some nasty grams about it. And my general rule whenever I get somebody complaining about our show is I'm super polite. And I just say, you know, I'm sorry that this wasn't for you. I explain, if I need to, I explain, you know, our philosophy is nothing's off the table, because the minute you say you take something off the table, mm-hmm. you kind of imply that it's okay to make fun yeah. of people for being fat, or it's okay to make fun of people for being a slut.
Right.
And it's like, it's not okay to make fun of people for any of those things.
Yeah.
For real.
Right.
Right?
We're making fun of each other yeah. and our fictional mothers.
We're all consenting to this.
We're all consenting yeah. to be, you know, when it's not, pedophilia is not okay.
Right. Or right? funny.
It's not, I mean, the act of, yeah. The,
finally, someone takes a stand on pedophilia.
If I heard a kid got raped, I wouldn't be like, oh, seriously? Yeah. awesome, what? That's
but,
amazing.
But if you can come up with a yeah. clever way to say somebody raped a kid, it can be funny.
Right.
Which, I mean, again, pedophilia is rape.
And it's yes. not okay.
But and it, I feel like the universal comedy taboo that some people have, where they're saying, some people say no rape jokes.
And they don't.
Those people aren't nearly as vocal about, well, no pedophilia jokes.
Or bestiality jokes.
Or bestiality jokes, even though that's all rape
jokes. Or prison rape jokes. Yeah. That's always interesting
to
me.
That's always the funny, yeah, and I read it. I read it way too much.
Yeah.
Because I work in an office. And I am always like calling people out on, hey, you realize you just made a rape joke. It's even if it's prison, it's still not okay.
Uh-huh.
And I'll get like 100 upvotes because apparently a lot of people agree. Oh yes, it's not okay. But everyone still makes
yeah.
these jokes
sure.
out in public, and it's like,
oh, don't drop the soap. That is a rape joke.
Don't yeah.
drop
soap.
The soap.
I might
is a
as
rape
well
joke.
Say, I might as well say jovially to a woman going to a party, don't drink out of an unmarked container. Am I right?
Right.
Don't get
yeah.
raped.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's just, that's what don't drop the soap is.
Right.
Don't wear a short skirt at night. Huh?
Yeah,
don't
exactly.
do it. You're going to get raped.
And it doesn't matter if it's to a girl or a guy. It's
yeah.
not acceptable.
I think you're at Fest, you're going to find this especially. The women in Ville are seen as way dirtier and way more crude if you
really?
Do the dirty style, which not all the women do, but like me, Suze, Lauren, when she makes, you know, like jokes
yeah,
that are dirty,
that
and
it's because
we're girls,
right?
And it's because we're, especially, it's like, oh, that cute girl is saying these foul things, and like coming out of like Matt's mouth, something just as dirty doesn't come off as dirty.
He has to try harder to get
yep.
the same type of response.
Yeah,
I can say something.
Yeah, I can say something that it's not really that bad, but it's like, oh my god, oh, she's got this joke and it's crazy, and it's like, I guess, and it's just because you're a woman, and it's kind of hilarious.
Right.
It's this weird like reverse. Glass ceiling where the men actually have to try harder to get
them. It's where we get 73% of the gross out on the per dollar you guys
oh,
get.
Oh, okay.
Out of there.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
73 cents of offensiveness.
On the other hand, I see a lot of female comics, not necessarily in Ville, but who try to be dirtier because they try harder to be just like the boys.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And it's not natural. It comes off as being...
Yeah.
It tries too hard.
Which is really funny because, yeah, girls are always seen as, like, cuter and more innocent. Like,
mm-hmm.
I guess I don't know the age of the youngest guy in Ville, but
I think it's
completely irrelevant.
I think it's probably the Sprinter or Q-Tip, and they're, like, 20... They're, like, your age.
Right,
so.
But they don't really get to play the same cute, adorable little...
Well,
none
of them are cute. That's
yeah.
the problem.
Chris,
yeah.
that was
part,
in their
part
age.
Of it.
Lauren, yeah.
You know, girls get to play the innocent, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, I don't think I would believe it if Spence tried to get up there and play the, oh, I'm just an adorable little boy saying these things.
I would say the closest is Kelvin, who gets to play, like, the, like, totally... like calm, and you don't expect him to say horrible filthy things.
Yeah,
and then he says
Kelvin,
something.
When he says something really filthy, I think it does come out of left field.
Yeah,
he just seems like the kind of guy who's not gonna say anything like that.
Yeah,
it's like if grandma has been quiet this whole time, and all of a sudden she pipes up and says, I think she's a cunt. It's like, whoa, grandma, where did that come from?
Even though like your aunt just said cunt four times
yeah,
in
yeah.
the last sentence, everyone's like, Nana, oh my god.
Kelvin has this like. Someone else's problem, Hitchhiker's Guide, improbability field surrounding him that just, like, everyone just assumes that he's, like, quiet Mr. Magoo, and then all of a sudden, fucking hilarity, or dirtiness, or both.
So, Molly, it's just, because, I mean, I feel like we ought to touch on this. We were talking about the thing on Facebook.
Yeah.
And somebody went out and found a rape joke that we did.
It was the clip. It was a clip from, it was 2012. It was when Courtney and I were the brand newbies.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was, and it was Courtney's joke. And it was
a pretty, I mean, it was a pretty offensive joke.
Joke one, round one. It was the first thing. And it was, "You're so ugly, a White Walker wouldn't even rape you." Which is... like, and the woman who had a valid point was like saying, like, "So you're saying some people are pretty enough to deserve to be raped, or like if you're lucky and you're pretty, you get raped." And it was like, "Well, I'm not." And Nick's like, "I didn't say it." And I'm like, "I'm not saying it." Yeah. The person who said it, but yeah, it was.
But the point that you made, because you know, you talk about trigger warnings, and I mean, it's fair. Somebody who's been through a traumatic experience like that. That can be a trigger for them, and it's fair to say this kind of humor might really not work for you. But you made a valid point, I think, in private conversation, that you don't know what it was a trigger for some people and what isn't.
Yep.
And for some people who have experienced sexual assault, joking about it publicly makes them feel better.
What I said was that we have rape survivors on the cast. Yeah. And
it's
I was
gallows
like,
humor, kind
yeah.
of.
And
it's
I was like, and you don't get to decide what a woman does or a person does to work through their stuff. And her immediate reaction was, it's kind of funny because her immediate reaction was like, "Well, then I guess it's okay, or not okay, but I'm instantly less mad that potentially that the person that there were rape survivors who were aware of it happening," which is weird to me that you could go from being like, "It's completely unacceptable and I am so angry," to, "Oh, well, it's someone else's process. So I'm okay."
I always love the people who get offended for a group that isn't them.
Yeah.
You know, who will come up and say, "Oh, I've never been raped, but I would bet you that someone who's been raped would be super, super offended by that." It's like, I feel like if someone came up to me and said, "Look, that hit really close to home because this happened to me," then I would take that, what they said, a little more seriously.
Apologize to them.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
For that. Yeah.
And in our show, I work really hard at the beginning of the show to say, we are going to cross a line that could potentially be uncomfortable.
Yeah, you give trigger warnings.
You should just start saying trigger warning, Tim. Honestly, especially Convergence, you could just say,
I consider
this your official trigger warning.
You're not out on stage at the beginning of the show.
I can hear you.
Yeah. The last couple of years, one of the introductions that I do is, you know, I'll say, you know, like, you'll see things on the web and they'll give you a trigger warning. And I say, this whole fucking show is a trigger warning.
Every minute.
Yeah. Of this show.
Yeah.
I try to make it really, especially Convergence, where we cross lines.
And it goes on TV.
Yeah.
And I think if you hear that this show is going to be full of offensive jokes, I think that the first thing that comes to my mind is, oh, they're going to make fun of women. They're going to make fun of minorities. They're probably going to make rape jokes. When you think offensive jokes, like rape jokes kind of seems like a really popular one. So I would assume immediately that...
Yep.
The funny thing is, rape jokes make me tremendously uncomfortable. As a comedian, I have no interest in going there.
I've had two rape insults that I've pretty much retired at this point. I don't use them. I don't think they have very good payoff for what they are. I can't even remember the one of them. The one of them was... like, "Suze is such a slut, her rape whistle has a snooze button."
See?
like, "Oh, just 15 more minutes. Like, oh, just 5 more minutes. Just, maybe 5 more minutes. And I think it's funny, but I don't... It never gets the response that I think makes it worth it.
My favorite is Mark's. My favorite is Mark's. "Molly's house got broken into by two men. She yelled, 'Rape!' and they said, 'No.'" Which is a very funny joke about rape.
It is a joke about rape, and it's where no one is... It's not at the expense of anyone.
There's no victim in it, but word is so charged.
Even though that joke is literally the exact same as saying, "You're so ugly... two men wouldn't rape you when they broke into your house,"
which is
the same joke Courtney made that got people so upset.
But I think the problem with
the
Courtney's
way they say
joke
it.
Is it doesn't make as much. I don't want to say it doesn't make sense because it's not.
Yeah.
Nobody's jokes are inherently
sensical.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you look at this and the characters don't rape anyone in the show.
Sure.
So to associate them with rape,
is such
a stretch that it makes people go, "Wait, what?" Oh, and then because it's a bad joke told right away, it hits a lot worse than if she told it, you know, 10 minutes in, but used Craster.
Yeah, that's true. That's very, I think the timing for that had a lot to do with it, especially, right. Because, like, right off the bat,
the audience is not ready for it. Right,
they're not, and maybe you're like, oh, it maybe like someone was like, my 13-year-old was watching it in the teen room, was very upset, and it's like, well, whatever. I you know, I'm sorry. The argument that will sway me the least is, but my children, right. Because I'm always like, well, that's you and your goddamn children. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, if you can imagine someone being like, let's see, Mom, I just want to watch it, or like, let's just see how bad it is, and the first joke is that. I mean, there's no temperature dipping for you to be like, let's just leave.
And to be fair, that joke was not televised. Last year, I think, was the first or second year that Ville was televised. And I have actually objected to it.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know that it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because anybody can watch it. Anybody can walk in after I've given all these disclaimers. You can turn on the TV and see the show. And if it's not your thing, that could be a problem. Now, it's still personal choice, and the convention has opted to do that. And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm saying that I had initially said, I don't know that this is the best idea, given the kind of show we're doing.
But
is it possible to have, like, a little TV 14 up in the...
I was just going to say earlier, I want to make you little signs that you can put up on stage, Tim. One on the other side that just say, like, trigger warning.
TV 14. MALSVD. MALSVDR.
Tim, all of those same arguments you made, I could say, how dare the hotel have HBO on in the hotel? Mm. My children could turn on Game of Thrones in the middle of an episode and see, like, you know, sex rape and
boobs.
Whatever the fuck, and monsters that
so
eat babies, and some wang.
I want a show now that's sex rape and whatever the fuck.
but they put a little warning in front of all their stuff, but they could just as easily flip to that.
Absolutely agree.
There was a woman yesterday wearing a costume, not yesterday, last year, that was basically like two postage stamps and then a slightly larger postage stamp down south and a piece of string. And it was from some anime, I'm sure, but I'm just saying, that was a walking equivalent of a Ville joke.
That was last year.
I don't know.
Bikini top and a loincloth.
Yeah.
And that was... that was my jam for the day, and if someone... people get so weird about...
Yeah, it's... people get
stuff,
weird.
Stuff, like deciding what they want to be offended by.
What everyone's... it's subjective.
And that's the tricky thing about our show. It is subjective. It's, again, if I say, this one joke is something that shouldn't be told, this one kind of joke is something that shouldn't be told, then I'm making a value judgment on all of it.
You're saying no rape jokes, but Holocaust jokes are okay. You're saying that the Holocaust is actually cooler than rape, and you're cooler with the Holocaust than with rape.
And I feel like because so many rape jokes are female-centric, that you're almost making the statement that women can't handle being made fun of as much as men.
Well, I mean, rape is... statistically, female centric. Like,
right.
I mean, that's just
how it goes,
is women are the victims of rape.
But there are lots of jokes that are told, Holocaust jokes or dead parent jokes or pedophile jokes that seem to be, like you said earlier, seem to be less horrible than rape.
Holocaust jokes are easy. I mean, most of the victims are dead, so you don't have to worry about trigger warning there.
You'd be surprised.
No, we had a friend walk out of a show.
Thank you so much, Kirsten. That was a very wonderful discussion about offensive comedy and feminism. But it's time for five questions.
Oh boy.
Are you ready? Do you know what our five questions are?
I do. I looked it up on the car ride over here.
This is exciting. All right. So, question number one, Tim.
Question number one, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Well, the best movie I've seen in the last 30 days is Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes, it is! Witness me!
So fucking good. The thing that I liked the best about it was that basically any of the characters could be switched out for gender.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the wives had to be women, the war boys had to be boys, but most of the characters could almost be whatever gender and the script would still work and the people were treated as people and Furiosa was an awesome character and the fact that she's a woman is completely secondary to the fact that she's awesome.
And the part that she and the fact that she's missing an arm is even tertiary.
Everyone like in the movie is disabled in some way.
Pretty much.
And yet they're still ruling the world and kicking ass, and I think that that is amazing.
Absolutely.
It's a really it was amazingly good
movie. It was so good.
I saw it 4 times.
Well, I'd like to go back. I was playing this game Destiny earlier today, and it's one of the classes you can come back to life as your that's your superpower. So now it's just every time we're playing this, the guys are playing this game. Whenever I die and come back, it's I live, I die, I live again. Like every time, it just
witness me.
Go running, throwing grenades. Witness me.
I am trying to figure out how to put together a gender bend Immortan Joe.
I was thinking about that too. Because you could just streak your hair. You'd have to have your hair a little shorter, but like
figuring out the see-through breastplate is actually the only part that's been difficult because it's still got to be kind of see-through to get that awesome look. But I obviously can't because I like not getting kicked out of con.
I know someone that has a vacuum
With like a the same kind of breastplate, but with something a little more opaque. In the
or just wear like just something like underneath it.
Wear like a leotard that'll just. You know, kind of press or ace bandage them down or something so that you can just have like what looks like flesh underneath.
You just need like clear plastic vacuform to pop it out.
It's like the one thing with convergence costumes for me is it's like, well, does she have big tits? Can't do that. Like, it just doesn't. It won't look right. You know, it will look ridiculous.
They sell fake rubber tits that you can get that actually look pretty good.
Really?
If you ever,
oh, man.
Drag queens wear them.
Well, I may have to get myself a pair of tits.
Finally.
Question number two. Who is your favorite atheist character?
This is so funny because I didn't know for a while. I had to look it up because I don't often pay attention to... like religion in a show, unless I'm watching a show specifically about religion or reading a book about it. So this was so hard because I'm trying to think of all my favorite characters and well, which one of them is an atheist? I don't remember them ever saying anything about God, but that doesn't mean anything. So after thinking about it a lot and also rewatching Full Metal Alchemist, I think Edward Elric is at the top of my list.
That's a good one. We haven't had that answer before.
Yeah, that's new. So.
Just because I like the idea that you come into these places where they worship whatever and you're like this is just science, like this is all this is happening because this and this and it looks like magic and it's awesome but actually it's this equivalent exchange.
You can study it, you can learn it, there are rules to it.
It's alchemy, right?
Demonstrable.
And I think that's what all quote-unquote magic is it's just science that you haven't explained.
Have you read the Kingkiller books?
I haven't
so good.
Quite finished the second one
because
no time.
Good.
Both Kingkiller is probably my spirit animal.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Question number three is, what is your geekiest hobby?
Costume making.
Ooh.
I make costumes. I cosplay. I do so much of that. I actually just made out of Warbla a Thorina costume that I'm going to be breaking out at con.
Awesome.
Oh, you posted some pictures of some stuff in process a month or two ago, I think.
I was going to wear it to the Marvel quiz that Geeks Who Drink do. But as I'm walking out the door, I bump against something and it wasn't dry.
It
like scraped away some of the gesso and silver and I'm like, nah, and I haven't been motivated enough.
I'm totally not like checking credentials. Are you reading Jason Aaron's Thor?
Yes.
You got the reveal?
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it for people because... I mean, like, I've never been so glad to be wrong. I bought the red herring, hook, line, and sinker, and when they revealed who Thor is, I was thrilled to be wrong.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if... I still haven't decided if I liked it or not, but the fact that I can't decide means it was incredibly well-written.
Yeah, for sure.
There are so many people I wanted it to be, but... You know, so, without spoiling it, I think that the run
But it's
has,
someone.
It is someone.
Yes, it is a person.
Did you read his, like, three trades that led up to the female Thor?
Yes.
Okay, because it sets it all up.
Yeah, I
loved it. Yeah, awesome.
Well, going back and reading it again.
It's
I'm like,
so much better.
I love books like that.
I don't know anyone else who's read it, so it's fun to have someone to talk to.
Okay, question number four. Moving away from Thor. What's your favorite sandwich?
My favorite sandwich is from Lou's Sandwich, which is on Nicolette on Eat Street. It is a tofu curry banh mi. They specialize in banh mi and Vietnamese food, and this is just like these little fried tofu bites, little scrumptious little bites.
Yummy.
Coated in tofu with all of the other banh mi accoutrement sprinkled on top.
That sounds good.
The bread is perfectly crispy. Like,
I miss a good banh mi, I'm not going to lie.
I would highly recommend it. It's also only like $5.
Nice. So it's like a good real banh mi is a cheap sandwich too. That's right. Kind of the point. Yeah.
It's
right.
French bread with crud in it. It's,
yep.
You know. That's
basically it.
Awesome. That sounds amazing.
French bread with crud in it.
Question number five. What is the stupidest thing anyone has ever said about your non-belief or agnostic, atheist, whateverism?
I didn't really come out as an atheist, as an agnostic. Well, I'm agnostic actually, because I don't know. Neither do I know if I care. But I didn't come out until college, and most of my other friends were also either atheist or agnostic or had been exposed to enough different thinking that they weren't really militant.
Sure.
So the only time I think someone said something dumb to me was before I came out, when I told my stepmother that I wanted to become a theater major. Her thing was, no, you should be a teacher. You should go into business, do something that's going to make money. Because when you die and you go to heaven, then you can be an actor and you'll get all the best parts because you get whatever you want when you're in heaven.
Oh my God.
Right. So like, just this idea of put away your passions until you die.
Because the afterlife will have plays?
Yeah, right?
Boy. And,
yeah.
In heaven... Could you do Hamlet? I mean, would Hamlet have to have a happy ending in heaven?
Are the stages made of clouds? Or are they, like, actually, like are they thrust or proscenium? Because I just really don't work in the realm.
If everyone gets all the roles they want in heaven, it sounds like television and movies are just ruined and terrible.
I told her straight up, that sounds terrible because the fact that you don't know if you're going to get it, and sometimes you get to play these awesome bit roles that you didn't know were great. You know, I would prefer the not knowing and the chaos to it because that's more fun. And I don't know if that's what heaven is, if heaven may be real or not. And that was the wrong thing to say.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't get Christmas presents anymore.
Oh, my God.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
My dad has to secretly ship them to me.
Like, wow.
Wow.
So I would like to talk some more about that sometime, but we are out of time for now.
We'd love to podcast.
Have you back. I hope you would like to come back sometime.
That's fun. You got y'all awesome. Funny people.
All right. Well, Kirsten Wade, you can come see her at Vilification Tennis at Convergence. Mm-hmm. And also... we'll be back in October. No, we have a July show still.
We have a July show
that she may or may not be in. But
Also, you're throwing a room party at Convergence this year.
Yes, I am. I am throwing the Lilith, Lilith with three L's because we don't know how to spell.
Sorry.
It is a pirate-themed room. If you've been to Convergence, it's the pirate room that has the beer pong cannons.
Oh, yeah.
Where you put the ping pong ball in the cannon and you shoot it at the cups.
Awesome. Have you guys always been the Lilith?
Yep.
Okay. I thought I was going to say, I remember signs from a couple of years at least. So.
You have like a Indiegogo fundraiser thing going for
Yes, we do.
Is that going up to the con or do you have a deadline?
No, I think our deadline is like in 10 days, maybe in 2 weeks. We've had so much trouble because Indiegogo shut us down for a couple of weeks.
Oh, no.
That's
rough.
When this podcast goes up, it should still be active.
For a couple of days,
We'll link.
If you guys feel like tossing a couple bucks their way to help put on one of the awesome room parties at Convergence that make Convergence what it is, really.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Kirsten, for being on.
Thank you.
You guys can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and like us and rate us on iTunes and all that stuff. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your local pastor, Geeks.God. see you later. Bye. Feminism means being able to take my pants off and tell dick jokes if I want to.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Father, I'd like to talk to you about this podcast. I think you'd really enjoy.